Heavenly Father, we do come to thank you so much that you open your throne room boldly to us at all times because we come in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't deserve anything really, O God, but you, God, graciously sent your Son into this world to save us from our sins. And we thank you for Jesus and the impact that he has on our lives daily. And we ask, Lord, that we would continue to seek those things above, not on things on the earth. We get so easily distracted, Father, because we're sinners. And we look elsewhere than Christ in many ways, not only for our livelihood, but for each day of just everything that's going on around us. We get distracted and we don't look to Christ. Forgive us, Father, for that sin, that when we don't rely in Christ's strength and his power, and we try to do everything on our own. We know, Father, when we do that, we will fail. But be with us now, Father, as we look into your holy word, the inspired word of God that's full of power, that's infallible and inspired. May your word of God touch our hearts. Help us to grow in Christ. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would touch their heart and have them come to believe and accept Christ as Savior. I pray, Lord, too, that you would continue to be with us today and be with the people that are named in the bulletin. There's many of them. We think of John and Michael and Bob and Mary. We thank you, Jack's here, and we thank you that you continue to give him strength. We think of Jack Anderson, Al McCartney, and John Allen, and Penny Nason, and all the expectant mothers, Father, and, of course, all those in the military. We lift them up to you. We ask that you would keep them safe. We thank you for the freedom that we have to come here to Sunday morning to worship you because of those people who are willing to sacrifice their lives so that we could be free. So be with us now, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, or if you want to look behind me, I'm going to be reading one verse, and we're going to be preaching on the one verse, Galatians 2:20. It's a verse that has meant a lot to me over the years as a Christian, and I'm going to read this at this time. This is Paul speaking to the Galatians. It says this in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Let's pray. Lord, may this verse touch our lives today. May, Lord, this verse come into our hearts and help us to change more into the image and likeness of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Over my years as a Christian, and I've been a Christian now for over 40 years, and I praise God for every day when I came to know Christ when I was 18 years old. The Lord has impressed on me, as I've given my life to him, a biblical truth that I love to share with fellow believers. The first time I heard this truth, I was in seminary. I had gone through 4 years of Bible college, Philadelphia College of Bible. I've gone to seminary. And there was a pastor named Ken Smith that preached on union with Christ. And I really believe this biblical truth is not often mentioned in Christian circles by itself. But it's getting more known. And yet, the truth is the believer's union with Christ. The questions I ask, not only myself, because I have to ask these questions to myself every day, but other questions are these kind of questions when I am talking about union with Christ. Is Jesus Christ as real and alive in you today as he was when you first believed upon him? Do you sense Christ's presence in your lives on a daily basis? Or do you feel like you're like the Ephesus church in the book of Revelation, that you've grown cold and that you've left your first love, Jesus Christ? How much did Jesus Christ mean to you in your everyday life? And does he affect how you live and what decisions you make? Do you remember the time years back when someone created WWJD? Remember that? Remember what that stood for? What would Jesus do? We were to ask this question before we made a decision or anything that we would do. What would Jesus do about that? I think the person that created this bracelet or whatever, necklace or whatever happened, was very smart. Because he saw in the market the fact that we Christians often forget this truth, that Jesus is living in us. So we had to be reminded of what we do, what decisions we make affect our Christian life and witness. And we have to look at that bracelet all of a sudden and then remember. Why do we even need WWJD? We know Jesus Christ lives in our hearts by our profession of faith. Where's our zeal sometimes? And where's our enthusiasm for the Lord? Where's our witness? Do people really see in our lives the Lord Jesus Christ? Where's our fire for the Lord? Tough questions, but questions that make us think about our daily relationship with Jesus. And that is where this truth, union with Christ, comes into our lives as believers. This sermon is an encouraging reminder that we should keep alive or rekindle our faith, realizing in our heart of hearts that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for me. He was buried for me because of my sin. He rose again for me and defeated sin and death once and for all by his mighty resurrection. He is alive and present and reigning in my heart by the Holy Spirit 7 days a week, all the time. Just pause for a moment with me and see the tremendous cost that Jesus gave when he came to this rebellious world to give up his life for his believers. And then wonder how your life would be without Jesus Christ. Think of the cost that Jesus Christ did for you, coming to a sinful world, rubbing shoulders with sinners, being tired, hungry, then going to the cross, suffering what he suffered for you and for me, and then think of what it would be like if you did not have Jesus Christ in your life. Jesus Christ changes lives. Has he changed your life? Have you trusted and believed in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior and Lord? If you have, your life will change and continue to change into being conformed to his image and likeness. We do have our spiritual up and down, don't we? Don't you feel sometimes really high in the Lord and sometimes down, way down here? You know, you look at Abraham who obeyed God. He goes to a foreign land. And then he goes down to Egypt and he lies about his wife. Oh, she's my sister, to Pharaoh. Remember that? Look at Elijah, who in the power of God defeated Baal. Many prophets, the false god at Mount Carmel. And yet in the very next chapter in 1 Kings 19, he runs for his life, wishing to die, fear because he feared Jezebel, King Ahab's wife. And he says, I'm the only one. And God says, no, you got 7,000. Look at David, who was favored by God, king of Israel, and yet he committed adultery and murder, then murder. Look at Jonah, the prophet, who refused to go to Nineveh to preach the gospel. Look at Peter, who denied his Lord 3 times, and Paul, who struggled with his sin on a daily basis in Romans chapter 7. Then look at us on a daily basis, sin against the very God who loved us and gave up his son for us. We do it. We do it. There will be peaks and valleys in the Christian life, but God promises to all that believe in Jesus Christ a blessed and consistent walk when we allow Jesus, not us, to live in our lives. We have to realize that just as we cannot save ourselves by our own works when we first trusted in Jesus for our salvation, so likewise, we cannot rely in our own strength in our growing process of believers. Both are a work of God completely. And the way we are obedient to our living God is not by us or in our own strength, but by God's Spirit working in us as he helps us understand and apply the Word of God to our lives. You can't take one without the other. You need God's Spirit in your life, telling you that Jesus is in your life and you need the Word of God on a daily basis. This is why the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 4:13, I bet you can quote that scripture passage, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Striving to be holy in all that we do is our calling by our Heavenly Father to be holy as God is holy. You see, Paul tells us in our text that it's not us who live, but that Christ lives in us. Let me read that text again. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is a tremendous truth from God's word. We believers are not only in union at the point of our salvation, our justification, but we are also in union with Christ throughout all our Christian lives, our sanctification. Jesus lives in the believer's life, giving the believer his power and strength to live daily in this sinful world. How many of you can say that you can do that on your own? I don't see a hand. I don't see a hand. It is this deep communion with Jesus from day to day that leads the believer into conformity to the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Isn't that our goal as believers, is to be like Jesus in everything that we do, everything that we say? Isn't that the goal of every believer? This should be our goal in our lives. Each one of us, Paul states, says, he says, you must be crucified with Christ in order that Christ live in our lives. The phrase crucified with Christ speaks of our justification, or when we first trusted in Jesus. But what is it that must die? And what does Paul mean when he declares, I am crucified with Christ? I believe Paul's saying points back to the fall, when Adam sinned and plunged all mankind into sin. Man's nature became sinful, his image distorted, and death became the punishment for sin. You want to know why you do bad things? Because you have an old nature. You got it from Adam. Man, the crown of God's creation, had perfect fellowship with God, was now cast out of the garden, guilty, and lost before God. Man lost his original righteousness and holiness. His heart became darkened, and his desire saw not after God, but his own sinful desires. Man inherited a sinful nature, and his soul became spiritually dead. When you're spiritually dead, you cannot resurrect yourself. You need someone to resurrect you. That was God sending Christ to us. How could man be saved? Who could change man's mind and heart and give man a right relationship with God? Well, Paul states, Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, for nothing we could do in our own strength could save us. Only God could save us. And what did Jesus do when he went to the cross? He crucified our old natures, putting to death our sinful natures in order to justify us and declare us legally righteous. We who were dead in our trespasses and sins became alive, declared righteous in God's sight, because our substitute, Jesus Christ, took the penalty of sin and died in our place. He died in order to make us alive. And because Jesus defeated sin and death by his resurrection, we now have become alive in him. Praise God for what he has done for us. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Think about it. All the things God's done for us, that's the best thing he could have done, is to save us from our sins. See, our union with Christ is wrapped up in our being justified by faith in him. Christ took our old nature, and he nailed it to the cross. All that believe in Jesus Christ have been crucified with Christ. All believers, every one of us, were there on that day at Calvary where Christ took our place. Joe was there. Lloyd was there. Nancy was there. Tom was there. We were all there because he paid for our sins. If we believe in Christ and accept him as our personal Savior, we were there on that day at Calvary. Jesus Christ shed his blood for you personally. He knew you by name as we sung. He knows exactly everything about you. You were there. We should have been up on that cross. But not one of us in this room could have gotten up on that cross because we're sinners. We can't save ourselves because we're sinners. But Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, who was sinless, came down to this earth, and he died on the cross, and he was buried, and he rose again to defeat sin and death once and for all, because he was the God-man, 100% God, 100% man at the same time. The perfect God-man took our sin upon himself as our sacrifice for sin. And at the same time, he gave us his righteousness because of his grace, mercy, and love. We didn't deserve it. We don't know how to explain it. But God touched our heart. If you believe in Christ, you know for a fact that you're a Christian. Not because you're resting in what you did, but you're resting, or your own works, but you're resting in Jesus Christ in his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And you were there. He crucified that nature. We do not have to live to sin any longer. But Christ broke this chains of sin, and we are free in him. Romans 6, 5 through 12 amplifies Galatians 2, 20. Let me read this to you, and I want you to meditate on the words. Let me not read it fast. I want you to think about what Paul's saying here, because I'm not going to explain everything in this text. It says this, "For we have been united together in the likeness of his death." Think of that. Meditate upon that. "Certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with." Look at that. "That we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." You've been freed from sin. Your old nature was crucified at the cross of Calvary. Yet we know sin still dwells within us. But we have the capacity to be obedient to God because of Christ. "For he has died. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also," this is what we need to do, "reckon yourselves to be dead to sin," number one, "but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, this is a biggie. This is something we have to work on. We got to do it in the strength of the Spirit of God with Jesus living in us. It says this, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts." You see, because we have been justified, we do not have to live according to our sinful natures. That was crucified at the cross, our old nature. But now we live in Christ's righteousness by his Spirit. What tremendous power, think about it. It took God to justify us, regenerating us by his Spirit and giving us his new nature, a new heart and a new mind. Our new nature includes obedience to God. And some of the new nature includes the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In Christ Jesus, according to Romans 8:1, we are not condemned, for Jesus Christ took the penalty of sin for us, death for us, and conquered death by his mighty resurrection. We have all things in Christ. And again, God's people said, amen. Amen. How often do you thank him for what he's done for you? People of God, we got to get excited about our faith again. About our faith and about our daily personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He meant it when Jesus said it. He says, "And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age." Jesus lives in us. Think about it. He lives in us by the Spirit of God so that we can rely on him. In the book of Ephesians, we see a little significant phrase, and that phrase is in Christ or in him. And Paul says this. He says, "We have all spiritual blessings in him." All. You notice it all? Name all those spiritual blessings. I guess we will be here a long time, right? Because we have all spiritual blessings in him. God chooses or elects us in him. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. How many of you want to be forgiven? I think every one of us. without crucifying our old nature of sin and corruption and giving us his righteousness when he went to the cross, we would have no salvation. The Bible tells us that we have suffered with Christ, we're crucified with him, we died with Christ, we're buried with him, we're made alive with Christ, we're raised with him, we're joint heirs with Christ, we're glorified with him, we're enthroned with Christ, and one day, praise God, we will reign with him. This is our union with Christ. He doesn't leave anything out. Nothing out. All those things, one day we will be there sitting in front of Jesus Christ and as he teaches us in heaven. With him physically or whatever, there. So we can listen to him talk and speak to us. What a blessing that will be one day when we go to heaven and we're there with Christ. And then one day when we come to the new heavens and the new earth, what a blessing it will be that we'll reign with him. All because of his grace and love and mercy. Not because of who we are. Not because of what we've done. Only because of God's love and grace that he shed upon us while we were here on earth. I remember, think about it. You're only going to live here a very, very short time. That's it. What are you going to do in that time? So hopefully you've believed in Christ. I'm hoping, praying, every one of you come to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And then hopefully you serve Christ and you give your all to Christ and let Christ live through you. But this is it. But look all down there. That's where we're going to be with Christ. I can't even go. You can't even see, because we'll be with him in eternity. This little bit and then eternity. Think about that. Think about that. And because we're in union with him in our justification, secondly, we're in union with him in our sanctification growth process. Paul states that since Christ conquered my sinful nature, putting it to death, it is no longer lives, but Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. Whatever Paul did in the flesh, those things were counted loss as a direct result of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. Paul tells us this, I am no longer controlled by my fleshly, sinful nature, but I now live in the body of faith in the Son of God. It is from Jesus that I receive all my strength. This is Paul's testimony. It could be our testimony. And in him that I am trusting completely in every situation of life. My fellow believers, can you say this in your everyday experience in your own Christian life? Are you trusting him in every situation of life that comes to you? It's hard to do because we like to take control. I think some of our sinful natures show us that we're control freaks, right? We like to take control. We don't want to give it up to God. We don't give it to Jesus, right? Maybe the reason we do that is because our fire or zeal is not in our lives anymore. And because we have taken over and we have not allowed Christ to live through us. You see, Paul has not been deprived of his life in the flesh. That is his earthly existence. It is still Paul, the individual who thinks, exhorts, bear witnesses, and rejoices. Nevertheless, the bond between himself and his Lord is a very close, intimate one. For this is the bond that comes from faith. Notice Paul received his strength to live a dynamic Christian life from trusting in Jesus in every situation. So you see, Paul surrenders his own life to Christ and expects all from him. This should be our prayer in life to our Savior, Lord and Savior. We should say, Jesus, live in my life. Lead and guide me in everyday situations and let me do your will and not my will. My Christian friends, think of the trials that you have been through in your life. Think of just one that you have been through recently. We're not going to have everybody name them because we'll be here for a while, but we have all been through trials. What did you do with that trial? Did you take care of it yourself? How did it go for you? How did it go? Or did you trust in Jesus Christ and give it over to him? That's exactly what Jesus Christ can do. His shoulders are broad enough to take care of the sins of his people. Surely he can take care of what we go through daily in our lives. Because you have Christ living in you. You have Christ living in you. If you're a Christian, your desire is to let Christ rule in your heart and life as he uses you for his kingdom. We read it in Colossians 3, 1 through 3. It says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things that are on earth. And then he says this, for you have died, crucified nature, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Have you ever looked at that? Thought about that? Your life, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And later, he doesn't stop there in verse 15 in that chapter. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Think of all the trials you've gone through. Wouldn't you want the peace of Christ to rule in your heart during anything? All those trials? Very practical. And then verse 16, then he says, let the word of Christ dwell with you. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You have died, and your life is hidden in Jesus Christ, for you have been sanctified. You have been set apart for service in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I don't know if many of you looked at the meditation, because I sometimes forget about looking at it in the beginning of the service, but it was Luke 9:23. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. How have you been taking up your cross daily for Jesus? What have you been doing? Have you denied yourself certain things in life so you can serve him? It takes great sacrifice. Think about the many Christians that are persecuted in the world today because they're following Jesus Christ. All the things that they're going through because they've been taking up their cross daily and following Christ because they're sacrificing something. Sometimes they're sacrificing their freedom. How about the woman locally in the paper that would not recant her faith in Christ, and she was in prison, had to give birth to that baby, and the trouble she's had in Somalia? All those people out there, we have it pretty easy here sometimes. I'm not trying to say that to make you feel guilty, but I'm getting you to think about what Christ has done for us, the blessings we have in him. As Paul tells us in Galatians 2:20, our daily life in Christ is that we live by faith in Jesus, trusting him in every situation of life. You see, Jesus is with us. We know he's our hope of glory, right? We must decrease and Jesus must increase, right? When you first believed in Jesus for salvation, he gave you his spirit so that you could know and experience him daily in your life. Christ regenerated you. He gave you a new birth by his spirit so that you could have a new heart of obedience. You are his new creation. All those terms familiar, right? And you were born anew so that he only guides you in your life according to the word of God. This is a question you have to ask yourself. Do you give Jesus room in your life? Or do you treat him like a house guest, telling him what areas of your life he can go in or not? Jesus, I don't want you in the kitchen today, right? I don't want you here. I don't want you there. I'm going to tell you where I want you to go. Jesus has got to have the whole house. He's got to have all of us, you know? Do you all use all the means to cultivate your faith? Reading God's word? I know Ken was talking about reading God's word, and I confess I don't read it as much as I should. I think all of us can say that. Praying. We don't pray as much as we should be praying. All those things, taking the sacraments, coming to church faithfully, all those things help us, remind us, keep us in Christ. These are important things. Do you want to have a philosophy of life? I'm not a great philosopher, but Paul gave me a great philosophy verse. It's in Philippians 1:21. Do you know what it is? For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For to me to live is Christ. That's your philosophy as a Christian. Me to live is Christ. Live is Christ and to die is gain. If I go, then I'm going to be gaining a whole lot. But while I'm here, I am well live for Christ. And as I said in Philippians 3:7, Paul wanted to know Christ experientially daily in his life. If you know anything about Greek, and I know a little bit about it, the word gnosko means knowledge. But Paul uses the word epignosko, and that's experiential knowledge. He wanted to experience Christ daily in his life. He didn't just want to have a head knowledge of Christ. Because a lot of people here, maybe in this room, have a head knowledge of Christ and know about Christ, but they don't know actually their personal Savior and Lord. It's crucial that you know Him personally as your Savior and Lord. You see, Paul by no means ever achieved this goal, because in the same chapter he said he's still pressing forward to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He was still trying and striving to be like Christ to the day he died, just like we are. We always have room to grow in Christ. I think Peter has a really great verse in 1 Peter 3:15. He says that you to set apart Jesus in your hearts. Set apart Jesus in your hearts. You know, to set Him apart in your heart is to allow Jesus to have control of every avenue of life, in your family relationships, in your work, in your neighborhoods, in your church, even over your material possessions. Everything. Do people see Jesus Christ in you? How is your witness? Do you love people as Jesus loved you? You know, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that first say that Jesus loves us and then we should love. And then he says this in Romans 15:7, that we should accept one another because Christ has accepted us. And then he says, you know, we should forgive because Christ forgave you, us. And so all these verses, I mean, he's the head, we're the body, we follow the head. And to me, we have a great model because Jesus Christ has done everything for us. He even shows us how to live in this life. If you allow Jesus to live in your life as this verse states, you will see dramatic changes to all those things I just mentioned. This truth gives us hope in the way we live our lives as we can apply this truth to our everyday living. For example, say you're tempted with a particular sin in your life. Maybe it's a sin you just have problems with. You name the sin. You know it's wrong. According to the Bible, you do it anyway. But one day, for some reason, you start reading the Bible or you rely on the Spirit of God and you say, Jesus, help me. And you conquer that sin. Living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you say no to that sin on that one day, maybe. Do you see what you just did? You broke that chain of sin, not in your own strength, but in the power of the Spirit, as you're in union with Christ, because you no longer are a slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness, as we see in Romans 6, and you did it in Christ. And the more you do that, the more consistently you have a walk with Jesus Christ. Very practical. But you might have that sin, and you said no to sin, and yes to righteousness or holy living, and that one day, you can look back at that and say, you know, and then as you do that more and more and more, guess what? You become more and more, I'm not going to do that anymore. Because you did it in the strength of the power of Jesus Christ. See, an unbeliever cannot say no to sin. But because you are justified by faith in Christ, you can, in Christ's strength, break the power of sin in your life. My Christian friends, this is true obedience to our God. And this helps you to be more conformed to His image and likeness. Paul says that the life he lives in the flesh is a life of faith in the Son of God. It takes true biblical saving faith in the Son of God to give up your life for Him as He leads you, because your life is now hidden in Christ, for you have been crucified with Him. Thirdly, Jesus leads the way as the captain of our salvation, as He is our example of how to give up our lives for Him. Jesus bought us with a tremendous cost, as I said. He bought us with His precious life as He shed His blood for you and me. Paul ends this verse with a wonderful truth. He loved me and gave Himself for me. He loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, let me go over here and just tell you, he didn't say, He loved me and gave Himself for everybody. For me, personally. It's a personal faith. Every one of you has to make a personal decision to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Paul said, for me. Me, Paul, the guy that crucified, you know, was going after the church. For Joe. He gave Himself for Joe, for Lloyd, for anybody, for Riley, for all these, for each one of us. On a personal basis, it's a personal faith. And he says, He gave Himself up for me. The only remark I have to say otherwise is this. If Jesus Christ was so willing to give up his life for us, as he suffered on the cross and died, was buried, and raised again, how much more should we give up our lives for him as we serve him now in our lives? He gave up his life for us. Is it unreasonable for us to give up our lives for him? Ourselves and take up our cross daily. My hope and prayer is you remind yourselves daily that you are in union with Christ in your justification and sanctification, is that you would rekindle the spark of Christ in you and let it become a glowing flame or light for the world to see. Be challenged from God's word today and be challenged by Jesus' great salvation of what he did in his sacrifice. You know, the highest compliment you could ever receive is not that you're good looking or any of those things, but it's this, that I see Jesus Christ in you. That's the highest compliment you would want to hear. That's the highest compliment. Maybe somebody here has not understood everything that I've been saying. You've never believed and accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Only Jesus can save us from our sin according to God's word. Your own works cannot save you. You have to trust in what Jesus did at the cross when he died, was buried, and risen again to defeat sin and death once and for all. He took your place on the cross. All you have to do is repent of your sin and believe in him, and you shall be saved. I invite you, if you're not 100% sure that you are a Christian, to talk to one of the elders or talk to someone that you know and ask them about Christianity and your personal faith in Jesus Christ. I challenge you. And once you do that, you'll never be the same. You'll be changed forever. And believer, how are you living for Christ in this world? Can people see Jesus Christ in you? Okay, we've been talking about this verse. I'm going to read this verse. I won't read it all at once. I want you to repeat after me this verse if you truly are a Christian. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much.